Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi, friends. My name is Dave, and I'm on the ministry team here at Living Waters. Certainly this time of year, we have so much to be thankful for. Thank you for joining us today as we're learning from Scripture. So thankful for the many that help make Living Waters just an awesome community. And as I think about these types of people, I also include in that our Living Waters ministry team. You can head over to our website for the names and faces of our awesome team. I was reminded of this past week. It's our annual team day. We have many meetings, but we have an annual team day away. And I was just so thankful and reminded of how blessed we are as a community by these individuals and their families who show up and who serve, who are walking in their God's calling upon their lives and are growing in the Lord and giving their hearts and lives and service to him amongst us. And we're just so thankful, certainly thankful for the ability to serve the Lord together. Again, we want to give a big shout out, words of thanks and appreciation to our God for so many things this time of year. Well, we are in our final week of our series called Lead Us, and we are asking God, we're asking you to join us in prayer, asking God to lead us this time of year. And we've been using as a guide Matthew chapter 6. And allow me to read what we've been referencing, what is referenced as the Lord's Prayer, as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we all said amen to this prayer. When our kids were younger, we quite often hosted international students. We have many fond memories. I think specifically of the time we had two girls specifically in our home. We made it great, of course, was these two girls' ability to get along. They had a beautiful friendship, and their friendship kind of just made its way into our family, and it was a wonderful, wonderful number of weeks. It was lovely. We went camping together. They'd never been camping. They had no idea. We'd did our best to describe, but we fell short. Our first duty was to leave the campground and go find them some sandals because as they came out of their tent, we noticed that they were wearing high heels and had brought no other footwear. We all laughed so hard for obvious reasons. It was just crazy fun of learning together. At one point, these two university students wanted to cross the border into the United States. We loved them, and we responded. We were up for the trip and the travel, so we tried to cross the border and Alder Grove, and we're taking them to Bellingham. Again, this was years ago. Arriving at the border, we'd been assured by the girls that there would not be any problems. Well, after initial conversation with the border security, we were surprised when we were asked to pull over, and as the girls were instructed to bring into the office all of their documentation. Well, after a thorough review, we were on our way, really without too much hassle. But when you are from one country entering into another country, you quickly realize that not every country deals with things the same way. In that moment, there was Canadian law, there was American law, and of course, there was Chinese documentation that was all legitimate, but these girls were needing to tell their story and build credibility. Each one of these countries carried expectation as to what was or what was not possible. As Luke shared last week, one of the first things that Jesus taught his disciples when they asked him how to pray was that Christians are not of this world. Christians are on, as Luke said last week, on this beautiful spiritual migrating process. If you would be from kind of one country to another. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." One of the many things that Jesus teaches here is prayer reminds us and leads us out of this world or dominion of darkness, according to Paul, into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. One big truth about prayer is that as we pray, we are joining movement. We are joining him as he leads us and directs us into this new kingdom and into his life that he's offering us. Again, as we continue on this pilgrimage or this migrating, there are a number of things that Jesus highlights in this prayer as his disciples and us learn more and more about this kingdom of God that we are called and led to as we pray. So let's take a review of the Lord's Prayer. So in verse 9, "Lead us to our Father, which art in heaven." Regular prayer shifts the focus to the place of where we are fixated on heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. If we begin our prayers focused on ourselves and remain on ourselves, our prayers will narrow. But Jesus taught that prayer invites us to widen our gaze and perspective, for certainly there is more to life than here and now. Verse 9, "Lead us to our family." We are taught to pray to our Father. Notice again the absence. We've reviewed this the last few weeks. Notice the absence of the words I, me, and mine. Rather, we see our, yours, and us. This prayer asks of us to consider the our, who the our is, as we pray to our Father. Christians, as we're reminded in the Lord's Prayer, have been adopted into the family of God, belonging now to God and his family. It's not a closed adoption. We can know our Father and we can know our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We've not crossed into this new kingdom alone. We belong to God and his family. So we wisely pray, "Lord, lead us to a place of belonging within your family and community. Lead us to people you have for me to serve. Lead us to people that you have to serve me. Lead us as we make room as a community for others." Verse 10, "Lead us to do your will on earth as it is in heaven." While on this pilgrimage, we are continually about aligning, doing our best to align to him and to our family. See, the Christian life does not lead us away, but leads us to draw near. When we pray, we have a heightened concern for God's will on earth. Pray that what is happening in heaven, which is, again is worship and thanksgiving and a recognition for the forgiveness of sin, would happen on earth. Very redemptive, very restorative, very evangelistic. For we are praying, "God, we want your work on earth to be done so that your will on earth can be done." As we move this morning to the second half, or today to the second half of, shed light on the second half of this prayer, some would say that, again, this prayer reminds us of what is of utmost importance that God has for us. Not so much maybe what God wants from us, but what God has for us. Furthermore, some would say the first half of this prayer references the future. The second half gives detailed description of what our daily prayers and practices are to be all day and every day. So let's take a look. Verse 11. Lead us to places where we are fed, or give us our daily bread. Daily bread, the essentials. We are to ask and receive and consume daily provision that God gives us. Thank you for the promise to provide our needs, not our greeds, but our needs. The wording of bread here means to align ourselves again with eating with others. We ask for our daily bread. I used to work closely with someone who would pray before a meal, saying something similar to this. And God, now we remember those who are less fortunate than us today. For there are many in the world today that have a great need. Again, it wasn't manipulative, as we were often sitting with a very bountiful plate full of beautiful and good-tasting, nutritious food. Again, it wasn't manipulative. It wasn't an ask for not to enjoy what was in front of us. Rather, it's just the opposite. It was appropriate way to remind us of how thankful we are to be for God's very bountiful provision and not to take our daily bread for granted. So God, lead us to our places of feeding and thankfulness. Verse 12, lead us to forgiveness, or forgive us our debt. Forgive us our sin. Sin is a word that is often most talked about with someone when they come to Christ. For some, our first prayers are sometimes called the sinner's prayer, where we hear someone either praying verbally or referencing a prayer within. God, forgive me of the sin that I recognize today, for I fall short. I am convicted and need a Savior. And in those moments, we sense God offering us forgiveness and new life. A need for a Savior is stirred, and we come to Christ responding the promise that Jesus will forgive our sin or our debts. Furthermore, many move along in that public confession of water baptism. We are water baptized based upon the confession of our faith in Jesus to forgive us of our sins and our debts. And we are baptized publicly accordingly. Have you noticed that perhaps after salvation and baptism, where sin is acknowledged, publicly admitted, and perhaps publicly appreciated in the sense of being forgiven and set free, have you noticed that past initial salvation and sometimes past water baptism, the subject of sin within a Christian life is often seldom heard about? Just an observation. It can often lead, again, this is not in all cases, but it can often lead to a Christian's journey with the Lord's Prayer and personal growth and sanctification as it relates to personal sin is something that's very, very private. Again, we begin with sin being public through confession and a sinner's prayer and public water baptism. Well, what about continuing on with how we started? Often it doesn't happen. Sin becomes private. And the danger then is that when sin goes private, sin often goes underground, and it often leads to many horrible things. It often can sometimes lead to crisis of faith and experience. Many Christians can feel left alone to deal with their stuff all alone. So here Jesus said to the one that needs to become a Christian, perhaps to the one that has been publicly water baptized based upon confession of sin and forgiveness, Jesus says here, lead us to forgiveness. Lead us continually to places of public confession of sin and shortcoming. For here it says, as we pray that our sin, that we would be forgiven of our debt. Again, the word is our. What does that tell us? It tells us that we need to appreciate perhaps the common sins of man, the common struggles that each one of us have as we make our way on this pilgrimage, migrating to a new kingdom. For most often, the things that you're having a hard time with are often the things that someone else is having a hard time with. We do see that Jesus said of Holy Spirit in John 16:8, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. We are not to consider as something that only happens prior to salvation, and that is the conviction of sin. As this verse says, Holy Spirit is working today in your life and in mine to convict us in light of righteousness, sin, righteousness, and our judgment of our actions and attitudes. Again, this is not about holding our lives up to the light. This is about holding our lives up to the light and life and righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the Lord's Prayer asks us to consider how we're doing today in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. And again, to consider how someone else is doing. Lord, forgive us of our debts or our sins. The Bible speaks in the Old Testament quite directly about our sin. Matthew 18, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. Again, we're not rising as critics or judges. We are growing relationally in our appreciation to our common shared humanity and all that Christ has for us. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. James 5:20 says, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sin. Again, we don't rise this fall at Living Waters as pious judges. No, we humble ourselves in front of God and in front of each other, and we ask for God's grace to be known and experienced. We become grace dispensers, for the concern of a brother and sister is a family need. It's not private to lead underground. It's personal and needs to be shared appropriately with one another. Again, we're not judges or prosecutors. We're simply grace dispensers who love our family and care deeply for how our migrating process is going. The weather in September has been fantastic. The weather in the lower mainland, fantastic. I've noticed that some have are more easily transitioning from summer clothes to fall clothes. It happens in every one of our lives. At some point, whether it's in September or through Thanksgiving weekend, we transition and we move away from our light blues and our beige pants, and we start dressing a little more with darker colors. We do it all the time. One thing that I've noticed in my transition of colors of clothing based upon the seasons is that I've noticed when I transition to fall or darker colors that I seem to have less stains on my clothes. I've been known, certainly by my kids, to be kind of sloppy when I eat. I can sit with some spaghetti, and when I'm done, my plate's empty, but I'm living with the evidence, hey, dad just had a sloppy experience and it's all over my clothes. I've noticed when I eat spaghetti in my winter clothes that the evidence of food spillage is not the same. I've noticed that I spill my spaghetti so much more in the summer than I do in the winter. Well, of course, that's ridiculous. I'm just a messy eater in the summer, the spring, the autumn, and the winter. What's the difference? The difference is the color or the backdrop or, again, the easy ability to see on lighter colored clothes the evidence. What's the point? We have to be very careful and wise on who we are holding our lives up to will determine how we settle on how we're doing. If we hold our lives up as we ask God to forgive us of our sin and debt, and we are comparing to one, We may not see the evidence. We, however, when we hold up our lives and we do so in comparison to our Heavenly Father or Jesus Christ Himself, we certainly see the evidence of our beige clothes. In reference to the work of Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John 16:8, when He comes again, He will prove the world to be in wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. We have five values here at Living Waters Church: authenticity, community, generosity, growing, recognizing, and releasing. Our five values. If you're interested in learning more, you can head to our website. They're listed. They're important to us. We don't want them written on the walls of our webpage or the walls of our foyer in Fort Langley. We want them written in our hearts. Each value that we have points to Jesus. Actually, the name Jesus is referenced 19 times in our values. Why? Because we want to be led by Jesus, we want to be changed by Jesus, and we want to become like Jesus. And so in this verse, we are taught to ask God for forgiveness. For what? We're asking Him to forgive us for how we have fallen short of Him. We see the invitation to become like Him and a follower of Him, to act and think and respond like Jesus. What a task. We fall short all the time. We see the contrast as we hold Jesus' life up with our lives, and we see the contrast. Hence the need for not just asking God for forgiveness when we become a Christian through a sinner's prayer or through the public expression of water baptism. We are taught to regularly ask God about our sin. We are to ask God whether we have fallen short. We are to put some white pants on and some white jerseys on and ask what God sees. And in there, realize that yes, God in His judgment is also gracious, and He's careful and He's kind to help us and to actually forgive us of our sins. God forgives people of their sins. Matthew 1:21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. As Luke said last week, we take very seriously the fact that Jesus is the head of our church, and we hold ourselves to Him and Him alone. Jesus' name means Yahweh saves, Yahweh is salvation, and He came to not just forgive us, but save us from our sins and make us more like Him. Well, a couple more points in this prayer. Jesus says, lead us as we are forgiving others or those who trespass against us. Our society doesn't value forgiveness. But now notice, Jesus links God's forgiveness of us with our forgiveness of others. Forgiven people are to be forgiving people. The way we receive and the way we give are very much connected. I heard someone say holding on to unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Well, that's ridiculous. Unforgiveness hurts us. Forgiveness doesn't mean that what the other person did was right. It doesn't mean you weren't hurt or offended. Forgiveness means you're letting go of the debt they owe you and you're handing it over to God. And verse 13, and finally, Jesus says, lead us not into temptation, but lead us to your deliverance from the evil one. To deliver, it means to draw or rescue a person to and for the deliverer. Perhaps this again is thought of best spiritually, physically, and mentally. We are delivered into or towards the deliverer, who is God Himself. Friends, the primary strategy of the devil is to deceive us, to lead us away to those solitary places where we find agreement with something that's not true about God, ourselves, someone else, or even the devil himself. We often make Christian growth about the highs and lows of Bible reading, prayer, and church attendance. While also important, Christian growth is first and foremost about being transformed by truth, which of course is found through prayer, scripture, and Christian community.
Revelation 12 says, the devil or Satan who leads the whole world astray. John 8, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. We don't fear the enemy. We don't fear evil. We're affected by it, or can be, but we don't fear it. What is Jesus' response? Jesus promises to forgive us and save us from evil. He says when we come to him, he deletes the history button and the history channels and gives us a new start. Jesus promises, as we learn this summer, to put his spirit in us to enable us to live for him. He asks us to put off our old self and to tell God about our desires. He sanctifies us by his truth of God's word. And when we are sanctified, we are humbled and we are able to exhort one another. I recently heard a story of a father talking about a conversation he had with his son. And it involved an arrow. It involved an arrow. There was a time when the father, and it's a father telling the story, the father was exasperated by the continued decisions that his son was making. He's beside himself, and he found perhaps the courage to confront his son, got his son alone, tried to honor him, but said, "Son, I've noticed that as you are walking along, you continue to come to intersections, and you continue to make bad choices. You can choose the right way and follow the Lord, but you often leave the right path, and you often get caught up making bad choices and doing terrible things. What? Help me understand your thought process. Help me understand your experiences." Well, the son stopped his father and said, "Dad, it's actually perhaps an arrow, but the arrow is not pointing down. The arrow is to be thought of as sideways." His father was curious, "Son, help me understand." He goes, well, actually, this is a bit more of my experience. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just unnecessarily saying, this is my experience. I walk along, and yes, I do come to these intersections. But when I turn to make the right decisions, I realize the hill that I have to climb. It's a steep hill. To follow the Lord is a steep hill, and I just don't feel I'm ever up for it. So I turn in the opposite direction. A path that I find is so much easier to walk on. Yes, there's times on this path where I find myself convicted, but I realize in my conviction to change, I have to walk back up this hill with all of its consequences, and then I once again have to climb up this big, big hill towards all the things that Christ has for us. I appreciate the honesty of the conversation. Way to go, Dad. This conversation and experience of this son is often without the grace narrative, and it's often without the Lord's Prayer. Oh, the difference the son would have if he prayed the Lord's Prayer. Why? For a person or someone who is on a downward path, the Bible says that Jesus, as we ask, comes to save us from our sin. Which means we don't have to walk back up this path. We get rescued from it. We get pulled out from it, and we get repositioned in the path that Christ has for us, so that when we pray, "Lord, deliver us from the evil one," he actually comes and actually does the delivering. When we recognize our need, he comes and he delivers us, and he sets us on a path through the infilling of the Holy Spirit to live for him, and to be led along the path that is most upright and most helpful, and ultimately the blessed life that leads to eternity. In closing today, I ask you to appreciate that an act of sin does not have to become a lifestyle of sin. The Lord's Prayer asks us to consider our relationship with our Heavenly Father and with his family and people within this world. When it comes to your relationship with the Lord today, I want to just encourage you this fall. This is a day that God offers you life. He offers you his life. And we invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer and to miraculously experience the revelation the forgiveness, the deliverance, the provision that God has for us. This prayer offers us so much. It'd be so unfortunate if we didn't fully benefit from prayer and from the answer of prayer in the moment and in the glorious days ahead as we love and serve from the Lord. Again, if you're listening today and you've never given your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, where do you start? I encourage you to pray the Lord's Prayer. You can discover your Father in heaven. You can discover and be refreshed in God's will. You can receive God's provision. You can appreciate those that God will lead you around you as you move in that good direction, that others will help you in your Christian faith and journey. So as I close today, once again, I want to close with the Lord's Prayer. As a community, these last number of weeks, we're fully benefiting. We're sensing the life of God. We're sensing God answering prayer. We're seeing things. We're feeling things. We're knowing things because God is bringing revelation to our lives individually, to those around us, and to our community of how God is near to us. And we have such good days ahead as we follow Him. So let us pray together the Lord's Prayer as we close. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And everybody said together, Amen.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.